Animation is a wonderful thing. I've loved it ever since I was a kid. You can create magic out of just a few moving drawings.
Presenting the Paul McCartney Music and Animation Collection, produced and hosted by Paul McCartney.
I'm still fascinated by things I was fascinated by as a kid. Humor, romance, passion.
Three enchanting stories brought to life by the original music and animation of Paul McCartney. Tropic Island Hum.
Welcome to our...
About a friendly squirrel and a kind frog who seek sanctuary on an island oasis.
I always had been in love with the sort of hand-drawn animation. Tropic Island Hum, that was probably one of the last hand-drawn pieces made that way.
Tuesday, the story of what happens when frogs on lily pads take to the sky one Tuesday.
I thought it was just such a silly little idea, but a nice little surrealist idea, that I talked to the author of the book about would he mind us making a film of it. It's a bit different from our normal films, because it's basically just the fun these frogs all have.
And Rupert and the Frog Song, about a young boy's adventures on a walk one day.
I had read Rupert when I was a kid. There was one of these in particular where there was a choir of frogs. So I just thought, we've got a flute, we've got a violin, we've got a choir. Let me make some music with that in mind. So I took the drawing and tried to imagine how it might sound.
The special edition also features an exclusive behind-the-scenes look at the making of this historic project.
Don't leave this to me, I'm hot,
And I ended up on a few of them, like doing all the voices.
And an in-depth interview with Paul McCartney.
Why frogs? I don't know. I suppose we must like frogs.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 144 of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. There you go. We are a Paul McCartney talk show mainly dealing with the solo career of the one and only Paul McCartney. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Tom Hunyadi, and you may know me from my other show, Talk More Talk, a solo Beatles video cast. And I am joined by my partner in crime, my backwards traveler, Andy Nichols. Grumpy old rock star, what's going on over there?
I am grumpy because I'm sick.
Oh no.
Biting off a cold, but yes. Hanging in there. And glad to be back for a really fun episode, of which I have to give you thanks for, really, because we wouldn't be doing it if you didn't spot this.
Well, yeah, that's true. Well, I probably would have got it for you or something and sent it to you. But this week we're going to be talking about the Paul McCartney, the Music and Animated Collection and Animation Collection. This is featuring his three animated shorts, Tuesday, Tropic Island Hum, and Rupert and the Frog Song. So we're going to talk about this DVD release in a few minutes.
Yep.
But first, some exciting news. The book, The McCartney Legacy, that we've known about for a couple years now, featuring Adrian Sinclair and Alan Kozin, who are putting this book together, well, finally got a release date. It was supposed to come out this year, but it got moved back because of McCartney's lyric book, which comes out November 2nd. So they postponed it to 2022. As of right now, we're looking at October 15th of 2022. So really looking forward to this. We're going to have both of them on the show. Hopefully we're going to get some fans copies so we can go over it. But it's going to be, yes. But I've been in contact with Adrian Sinclair, and he's really excited about this book coming out. And we really look forward to it, because this is going to be the book. This is going to be the Lennonology of...
This is the Lennonology for Paul. This is the Lennonology version of what we wanted, what we've always wanted for Paul. Right. You know, we've never had such an in-depth work on Paul ever. We've, you know, some writers obviously have done some great books. Luca Perazzi has done great books on covering the music, of course. But to do a Lewison type, Mattinger type, you know, research on Paul, and so focused is something that people like Tom and I have been waiting for decades. The level of research like that we get at with the fine folks at the magazine, the fanzine, like that in depth level. I mean, is going to be great. And we have to wait a year, but listen, we've waited for everything else to come through. I mean, it's get back season finally. We were supposed to have it a year ago, and now we have it. So it'll come here, and man, that's the first of two,
that they're contracted assigned to, right, which I think will cover the whole 70s decade.
No, because the first volume goes to 73,
69 to 73, right? I'm not 100% sure when the second volume will end, but as far as I remember, I think they were only scheduled to do the first two volumes. Let's hope that they continue working on this.
You would hope so. I mean, because if the first volume is only going to be until 73, you know, there's a lot, and they're going to cover that much in a 5-year period. I mean, this could be, with that level of research, this could be 5, 6, 7 volumes.
Oh, absolutely. Listen,
I would hate for them to condense.
Right.
Any decade, like just to get it in.
Right. No, I don't think that would happen. I don't think they could allow themselves to do something like that.
No.
I mean, Paul is just so prolific with the amount of work that he's done decade per decade. I mean, listen, I mean, what we talked about last week with the Return to Pepperland. I mean, all of those sessions, you know, with all those tracks that didn't get released. I mean, we're going to see stuff that probably didn't get released in the 70s that they're going to be talking about,
right?
You know, probably in that first volume alone. So myth busting, I'm sure, is going to be another thing that they're going to be talking about. Kozin, when he was on, he talked about one of those Live and Let Die myths about George presenting the tape and the producer saying, well, that's fine for a demo. You know,
that's been debunked as a myth. That didn't happen.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, right. So we'll save that for them to talk about.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm sure Alan and Adrian, if it was up to them, would publish 5 or 6 or 7 volumes and do it justice the right way. But it's all dependent upon what the publishers are going to be, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Right. Well, here's the thing. So this first volume has to sell. I mean, the second volume is going to come out nonetheless, but I mean, if this series goes off to a great start, let's say, and the sales are through the roof, then that's just going to give the publishers some encouragement to want them to continue this series. So let's say, I mean, and I don't think this book's going to be cheap either. I mean, I'm already guessing that it's going to be over $100.
Oh, I'm sure.
For this, especially for the amount of time, the 5 years and
the amount of research,
and information that's going into this book.
The amount, the thing is, $100. I didn't mean to cut you off, but $100 for a book of that in-depth research, in my opinion, is a steal at $100. Yeah. Knowing what those two guys had to do to research this,
This is just a guess too. Please, I don't know how much this book's going to cost, but please, I mean, if we want more of these volumes, please support this book and the work that they're putting into it, because this, you will not regret this purchase. This is going to be the McCartney book that you want.
This is the one that you're gonna leave as an heirloom to your grandchildren if they become McCartney fans. just like you'll do with the Lewison books. And
yeah, and the Lennonology, absolutely.
And the Lennonology. Yeah. It's gonna go in the holy grail of those books. And it's been long overdue, and I'm glad that Adrian and Alan are finally kind of getting some, you know, having a path there for release. And it'll be here before you know it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Adrian just, you know, he talked a little bit about this the other day. We exchanged some texts, and, you know, they're going to be working with the editors here now. And so that process is all going. And October next year is going to be here, you know, before you know it.
Yep.
And And then as the information rolls in, we'll give it to you guys. But like I said, please, you know, go on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, type in McCartney Legacy, follow that page.
Do they have a website?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I believe they got a website, and, you know, follow the pages. And then, you know, as the information comes out, you know, it's just going to get more and more exciting.
It will.
So,
it
really will. Yeah. But other than that, you know, obviously went to the record store again, found some cool stuff. You know, been looking for those Capitol, I mean, not the Capitol, but those Columbia pressings.
Columbia pressings
of those 70s McCartney and Wings records. I mean, is that something that you have just about all of? Or
yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So yep. I did find the Venus and Mars Columbia.
Columbia, very nice.
Pressing. Yeah. It's got a couple of the knickknacks in there. I don't know if it came with exactly everything that the original came with, you know. So, but
definitely
it's
didn't.
Got, you know, one of it the, did posters come with the posters. In
there. One of the yeah. posters. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, people so in YouTube land, a little of Andy's collecting has rubbed off on Tom. He used to just buy exclusively new vinyl, but now he's buying.
Right. Now I'm going back and I'm going back and getting, finding the EMI, the Capitol, the Columbias, you know,
how you got to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So here's a Capitol, very perfect, pristine copy of Wings at the Speed of Sound. This is a Capitol pressing. You know, the great guy, the people at the Ingroove in Arizona, where I go at least once a week, and where I took Andy and Ethan while they were here, you know, they clean all the records before they put them out. You know, they make sure that everything's in tip-top shape. They know how to price stuff, you know.
Do they just like, I mean, you should probably have a relationship with them. Do they just like put stuff to the side for you? I mean, you go there once a week.
Oh, no.
They should. All McCartney stuff that comes in, put to the side.
See, here's the thing.
You're such a regular.
Yeah,
they should.
Yeah, but they've already got people. I mean, it's a competition, really. I mean, I'm sure every record store or most record stores out there have, you know, several collectors out there that have specific stuff that they collect, you know, and they always call, they always keep in touch, but they don't usually generally put things on hold.
They don't.
What I'm saying. They don't. Right. For no matter how well of a, you know,
of a customer you are.
Customer you are. But you're one of your favorite records here. This is a Capitol London Town, which again is in tip-top shape. This poster? Has both posters. In there. Yeah, both? Yeah. Yeah. So this one is, I think this one was a back-to-back, you know, a both side poster, and then you got the famous trio of Denny, Paul, and Linda, you know, in there. So yeah, the inserts, everything is all in there, or else I probably wouldn't have bought it.
One of the very few times that Paul actually included lyrics in his albums in the 70s.
Right.
Didn't do it too often. Red Rose Speedway, Band on the Run, Venus and Mars, and only London Town. Yeah,
yeah, you got it on the jacket sleeve there. You got the lyrics on there. So, you know, good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Enjoy. Those are just first pressings, right? In good shape.
Yeah, those are first pressings. Yeah,
decently priced, or
yeah, bit? Decently priced. Yeah, I mean, the, you know, 10 or under.
Ah, not bad. Know.
Yeah, no, not bad at all. Then earlier this week, we're recording this on what is it, the 17th today or the 18th? What is it today?
17th.
The 17th. So we're recording on the 17th, which is a Sunday. Tuesday, we got this bad boy.
Oh,
we
yeah. Get Back finally book. Came this in,
is,
man.
Yes. This is the companion for the Get Back docuseries that will be on Disney Plus here in November. So honestly, I haven't really gone through it yet because, you know, work's been pretty busy, and then, you know, doing research and work for the shows here. So
I'm only into the introduction, about 10 pages or so. It's about it. This is so, but right. Yeah, but get back seasons. Great book. Good companion piece.
Day by day. You know, you got a lot of the, you know, what was said, you know, I mean, it's so really cool. Really anxious to get reading this, and hopefully that'll be soon. It's about roughly the same size as those Lennon books, the Imagine book and the
plastic ono bin. Yeah, pretty much. But I think just leafing through most of it is just transcripts from. So
right. Yeah.
So it's not like a full novel. Right. It's all transcripts.
And it's good that the transcripts are in there, because when you're listening to the bootleg, okay, the bootlegs of that whole month.
Oh yeah.
That is really low in the mix. You can hear some, but you can't hear it, you know, word for word perfect. You know what I mean? So you got to like jack that volume up and concentrate on listening with headphones.
Plus all the camera clicks and the beeps and crap. And it's a very tedious listen to listen to.
Right.
All
so
that.
You can follow along with the transcripts and that's going to be exciting too, as well. And so that was Tuesday. We got that. Then this past Friday, obviously then.
Hot dog, baby.
Hot off the presses.
Yeah.
So this is the CD set. You're holding the vinyl set right there, right?
Yeah.
So.
This is the vinyl set, which I played last night all the way through. Right. All the discs.
Excellent.
Haven't opened up the CD yet.
Right.
Still holding that off on that. But I'm going to keep my hype sticker, too. I will.
Enjoy. Listen, I don't need any hype. I'm already hyped up enough for these stuff. Man.
Listen, hey, like the hype. Listen, they put their own hype on this thing. Okay, a new phase Beatles record.
Exactly. Exactly.
That was a new phase Beatles. Talk about hype.
Yeah.
You don't need any hype.
Let's talk about this for a few minutes, because we really haven't talked much about this release.
No.
But okay. So
not on our show, but
not on our show, right? But you know, I got it Friday. I got to listen to the remix Saturday a couple times while I was driving back and forth to work. You know, it's fine. I mean, nothing too earth shattering or nothing really to write home to mom about. But there's some good stuff on there. You know, a few things that I've noticed off the bat. You know, Across the Universe, I think Lennon's vocals are kind of elevated a little bit, and even the orchestration, I think, a little bit towards the end, or up a little bit. The bass is more. It's a little more powerful there, I think, on Dig a Pony to my ears. Now, you know, we were talking about this yesterday about the Long and Winding Road, and I said I was kind of surprised that the orchestration was up a little bit, but you're fine with that. I wasn't complaining about it. I was just kind of surprised that's
you thought it would have been. You thought it would have been a little bit more lowered.
I thought it would have just a little bit lowered and bring up Paul's vocals just a little bit and concentrate more on that vocal, because I think that's one of his best vocals of all time on that track. You know, but
for sure. As you looked in the liner notes, I had sent you in that text.
Right.
Giles knew that. It was not really. He couldn't. Just totally, you just whitewash it and take it out without, you know, he's got to give some respect to Spector's original production, because that's the version that did go to number one with the strings.
Exactly.
So, you know, and as our friend Ken Michaels always points out, that's the hit that was the Beatles' last number one hit, Long and Winding Road. And with the strings and all, so to totally whitewash it out, Giles knew that he couldn't just totally do that. So I'm pleased with it so far. We just talked about this before we went on the air. How much could you improve records like Let It Be and Abbey Road? You really can't too much. There, Abbey Road is from 2019. The remix. I mean, they're perfect records as they are. So, the sweetening that was done here on these last two records, I don't think is massively. It wasn't like listening to Pepper or even the White Album.
Right.
You know,
no, but agreed.
Now, what did you just? You have the vinyl and the CD, or you just have the CD?
No, right, I just went with the CDs with these. Since these remixes have been coming out with the start of Sgt. Pepper, I've only been getting the CD set.
No vinyls.
No, because I'm just happy with the stereo with the 2009s mixes.
I would have sworn you would have been lined up to get the vinyl. Beatle one, but you're okay with the CDs?
No, I'm okay just with the CDs on that. You know, I don't need. I mean, my show's already full enough, and I'm running out of room, Andy.
Yes, I know. I almost couldn't get into that room.
Yeah. But you know, the another one was Two of Us. You know, Ringo's bass drum. You know, was a bit louder.
Yeah.
A little more powerful in that. So, you know, all in all, I mean, again, you know, if you didn't like the remixes, you still have the original. To go with
the 2009's fine. As far as the supplemental material, you know, on the Get Back sessions and then the rehearsals and Apple Jams. they're okay. You know, there's nothing earth shattering in there. I was like, wow, this is great. I mean, hearing John do Give Me Some Truth, which we heard, but cleaned up was cool. The Oh Darling jam, some of the other stuff, the chatter, it's mm-hmm. it's great. You know, I think, let's see, hearing Paul do Please Please Me on the piano, that was pretty funny. Having a little laugh at that, hearing that stuff. But the speech stuff, I mean, really, though, but the crown jewel in the whole set for me is the Glenn Johns mix, which is just absolutely tremendous.
Gotcha.
And it's, listen, it's an enjoyable, there's a lot more content in this box than the Abbey Road box. You know, the Abbey Road, you know, the well was kind of dry there for the most part. It was out. It wasn't a box that was going to be loaded with a bunch of supplemental stuff.
Good point. Yep.
This one has a ton of stuff in here. And, you know, hearing Billy Preston talk and stuff like that. So, and of course that EP, which I guess some people were all fired up about, but I don't really know why it was included, but
it really is a waste of space on a CD, in my opinion. But with all that extra room that you have on there available, you know, why couldn't we get Old Brown Shoe on there as well? You know, if anybody's been getting the shaft, I think it's been George lately with these sets. I mean, we didn't get Only a Northern Song on the Sergeant Pepper. You know what I mean?
No.
So, and then plus with these the bonus discs. I mean, you're really only getting one. We're getting another All Things Must Pass rehearsal, which I'm completely fine with. But all those other songs that George produced, all that ended up on All Things Must Pass, you know, where are those?
Where are those?
You know?
Where are those? Yeah.
But you got an early rehearsal of something, so that's cool. You know, like you said, to Give Me Some Truth, you know, is going to be cool. But when you know what was actually recorded and you get this set, it's a little underwhelming. You know what I mean? It's kind of disappointing when you think about all the other stuff that recorded, you know, during that whole month. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm happy that we have this. You know, and I'm sure we're going to, a lot of the stuff that, you know, is not on here, we're going to hear and see and the Get Back, docuseries on Disney Plus. But again, it would be nice to have audio, of that stuff.
Yeah. And no rooftop concert audio, which is tough, you know? But I will say it's nice. Somebody else mentioned, I think somewhere on a comment they saw, it's just so cool to finally have the realized original Get Back as a Glenn Johns issued mimicking their first album, of course, please. But like actually officially issued in an LP, not a bootleg. I mean, that's really cool to have it on vinyl now like this.
See, and that's really cool. See, now I would almost be tempted to buy the Let It Be vinyl just to have that on vinyl.
I'm saying. I think that's why on vinyl it's worth it to have this because you're getting this fully realized, you know, it's like just, you know, bookending their careers, which really this is how it should have been, really.
Oh, absolutely. Agreed 110%. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The one thing I'm super excited about that they did here with the package, CD packaging, where the All Things Must Pass deluxe box set that we got, where they failed was in the kangaroo pouches. They put the CDs in actual little slip cases.
I didn't open it. They just put them, so they're actually you get slipcase covers.
Slipcase cover, and then it goes into the jacket pouch.
Too many of these new box sets, the Lennon stuff, the Lennon ones, that you get the little folding trifold thing, and the CD is just thrown in there, and you can't protect it. That stinks, but I'm glad I didn't have an open mind yet. But
See, the CD does have the Get Back cover, just like you got on the vinyl. So.
Right. Yeah. The only thing I have, my only point of reference for the Glenn Johns stuff for the last 20 years was a bootleg that I got probably 20 years ago or more.
Okay.
And it was mimicked the same thing. It was just this here on Vigitone. Get Back, the Glenn Johns final compilation. Vigitone bootleg with a booklet and everything, like very well done, very well put together and stuff like that. Right. But the quality wasn't as good. Now hearing it now officially released, it's mind blowing.
Oh, I'm sure it blows away. Yeah.
But you know, this, if before this release, if you wanted to hear the Glenn Johns mix, this was the best way to get it, was on this, the Vigitone bootleg from over 20 years ago.
Gotcha.
Which I'm sure people out there have probably had or heard of. But
I would hope so.
Yeah, it's you know, it's here, man. We've got the movie that drops next month on Disney Plus. Right. Did you sign up yet or no?
Early November, I will be. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because I would like a little time to watch the Mandalorian. Before we get to the Beatles stuff. But yeah, I'm actually looking forward to it now, getting Disney Plus.
We should have a watch.
Do you have it?
I do.
Okay.
I already have.
It cost a month?
It's bundled in with my Hulu plan, so I'm not sure. Individually, okay. I think it's like $12 or $14 a month.
Right. Right. I'm not worried about that so much. But
it's worth it. I mean, such as being a Star Wars fan like yourself, it's a great package. I know a lot of people out there in the Beatles community didn't have it. And they're like, oh, I got to get Disney Plus just to watch this film. Why can't they just really? There's enough content on Disney Plus, I think, to warrant. I mean, if you're going to just get it, watch the film, and then drop the subscription, fine. But it's a good service.
You know what? There's a good chance that a lot of the fans, too, could be Marvel fans. They could be DC fans. Not DC, but there could be Marvel fans. They could be Disney fans. So all the classic Disney stuff is on there.
Everything is on there, which I know. I mean, you're a bigger movie buff guy than most. So I think, you know, you'll love it. For that.
Yeah, so you get all the Disney films, you get all the Marvel films, you get all the Star Wars films, right?
Yeah.
All that's on there. So there's something for everyone to enjoy on that app. So I'm looking forward to it. And especially if this Obi-Wan Kenobi series is true and is being worked on, then I'm going to be even more excited.
With Ewan McGregor, that's going to be incredible.
Ewan McGregor reprising the role. So I would be really excited for that as well. So.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a little bit of a split episode here. I mean, we are going to talk about this animation thing in a minute, but there's just been so much to catch up on with the release of the Get Back stuff and the film and everything. And your cousin David said it to us in a text, and I totally agree with him. The fever for me, I agree with him. When that documentary drops, is going to be like the anthology all over
again. Oh, absolutely.
Three nights. Thanksgiving. Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, taking me back. I was in high school. And I recorded the first episode with Free as a Bird. And again, I didn't have the bootleg, so I didn't even know that song. I taped it. I stayed up all night and rewatched it until I didn't even go to sleep. I stayed up all night rewatching Free as a Bird on VHS. Wow. So I feel that with this film dropping in next month, it's going to be great. I mean, lots of people, even casual fans and friends that I've talked to, like they who have Disney Plus, they're like, oh, Andy, you're big. Like, this is this big deal. I'm like, so everybody's going to be watching this thing, not just Beatle people. Right. Even this is going to be a major, major event. And listen, do we wish it was in movies? Yeah, we do. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. Absolutely. You know, the trailer dropped, and then that was just... weren't excited about it then, you watch this trailer, and if you're still not excited, you know, then you're not a fan.
It was incredible. It was incredible. I mean, you watch that trailer, and it's like they're building up like the suspense. And you know how it ends, but it's like the way that it was the trailer is awesome. You hear that little clip. I think it's either George or Paul going. I couldn't tell if it was George or Paul who said, well, how many songs have we written so far that are good?
George.
It's George, right? And then it cuts right to John going, none.
None.
That is so awesome. Like that said,
that's John.
None. Right. That's George that said that though, right?
Right. I believe it was George. Yeah.
How many have we written so far that are good?
Yeah.
John. Yeah. None.
None.
Oh, man. So, excuse me.
Yeah. But it looks like it's going to go in chronological order. You know, there's not going to be any skipping from, like, you know, the third day of January to the 25th, let's say. You know, it looks like it's all going in order.
Yeah.
You know, day by day, which, you know, we're going to have the companion book to go along with that. So, yeah, absolutely. So it's very exciting. You know, I only watched the trailer once because I don't want to get burnt out on it. You know, and it's just, I just want it to be here. I want this November 25th to be here. And, you know, it's not here yet, but just got to calm down, I guess. So.
Yeah. Thanksgiving. It's the day after Thanksgiving, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's going to be awesome.
Absolutely. And yeah, exactly. The record store day is going to be the day after. I'm not 100% sure yet if I'm going to partake on this one. There's really not too much I'm looking forward to. There is the one release, the first Crosby and Nash record that was released back in, I think, 73, I want to say. That's going to be one of the records on that day that if I did go, I would pick up. But I do need to go back and look at the list again. Other than that, I mean, I've been in line so many times these last couple years. You
certainly have.
I think missing one is not going to be the end of the world, but
yeah, it won't kill you.
Yeah. You know, anyways, but yeah, so that's it right now. I mean, so we've got stuff to keep us busy here for the next couple weeks. You know, we got the McCartney Lyrics book coming out in November 2nd. So you can bet that we'll be doing a show on that. Not long after its release. But Andy, yeah. So, I remember talking to you, at some point, maybe last year or something like that, talking about, the music and animation, DVD set. You said that this was still one of the few things in your collection that you still hadn't had or gotten yet. So, but then when you were out here, you know, we saw it at one of the Zia stores and I was like, oh, perfect. Mm-mm. Was it Zia? No. Mm-mm.
It was that small one.
Oh, the record room.
Yes.
The record room. Yeah. Yeah. That's where it was. But I have seen this at the Zia's as well.
Of course.
Matter of fact, I think that's where I got my copy, was at a Zia.
Yeah.
Like 4 or 5 years ago. So, but anyways, so, I mean, but you knew about this. You knew about these shows, right?
I knew about it. I knew it. Just, I had just slipped through my radar of picking it up on DVD. In fact, at the same time, and I think you picked this up a few months ago, there was a 7-inch single. Yellow on yellow vinyl,
right?
With Tropic Island Hum and We All Stand Together on that, and I got that right around when this, because that was released simultaneously as this DVD,
right?
Mm-hmm. And I bought that then, and of course I had seen individually We All Stand Together, the film, of course, which you kind of got on VHS not too long. That was a cool.
Well, yeah, yeah. So this is at the same place, the record room. This is the VHS copy. Now this is just the Rupert and the Frog song with Seaside Woman and Oriental Nightfish.
Right now. Oh, so that was on there as well too. See.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Now it was shown, and this must have been so cool back in 84. If you went to see Broad Street, they showed Rupert before the movie, which is incredible.
And from my research, people loved it. They went crazy for Rupert the Frog song. Now, too bad the second feature wasn't as good as the first, maybe, or to some people's mind. So this VHS came out in 85.
Right.
So the other two wouldn't have been done yet. So understandably so that the Seaside Woman and Oriental Nightfish is on there. I don't know how parents took to, a naked woman running around, animated naked woman running around in this. But if you have any memories of that, please let us know in the comments. This does make me want to buy a VHS. Player and play it and see, make sure that it works properly.
Even though we got that wonderful 4K last year.
Now to coincide with the 100th anniversary of Rupert. Yeah, so there you go. There's the reissue. I know. I think we both have the original as well.
Yep.
The crazy shaped 45, which you're gonna bring it out, right?
Sure. Why not? Yeah, always well done. One of the coolest things ever, really, that he's ever issued. So well done. I mean, really, kind of just like the. Let's just talk about Paul McCartney and the animation stuff aspect.
Oh here. yeah, big fan for a long time.
Big. I mean, it's a part of his life that I don't think a lot of people really pay attention to, really. And as we're going to talk about it with this DVD, I mean, even going back to, Bruce McMouse, which we got to see finally in 2018, his love of animation. And again, I didn't watch this until just the other day, just to get ready for the show. So, it's a nice talent. It's just a nice side of him that you don't really read about or hear about too often, go and all the work that goes into it and the team right. that he assembles and working with Jeff Dunbar and all that other and all that great stuff. You know, that's a long history there with Jeff.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, like a lot of people, I mean, there's a lot of us, including myself, that are still fascinated by animation. I mean, look, we grew up like Saturday morning cartoons.
That was it, man.
Yeah, you know, that was you know, after school cartoons. That's where I would watch He-Man, you know, and other things as well.
Remember that? Remember that jingle on ABC? After these messages, we'll be right back.
Right back.
Remember
that?
Saturday morning cartoons, man.
Saturday morning cartoons. Oh man, all of that stuff. Just loved it. So, and now, I still.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, you.
No, and I was just saying, it still continues today because, you know, in the 90s, there's that big breakthrough with the Japanese animation films.
Oh, yeah.
Those really, you know, became popular and exploded and still pretty popular to this day. You know, I have some of that stuff over here on Blu-ray as well. So, yeah, I mean, so animation is still a pretty big, you know, part of my life, too. So.
Not nice. It's not so much mine anymore. Growing up, it was. But to go back and look at these... These are very three distinctly British-looking films, naturally. Yeah, I mean, you don't watch these and go, oh, this is Saturday morning American cartoon. This is very these are a little different, a little artsy, you know, different kind of films. Rupert, of course, the most universal one, I think, that most people know now.
Right.
Which, again, you know, it goes back to his – that song goes back to 1980. That was one of the – that's Paul and George Martin getting back together, you know, just to see how it was going
to
work.
The first thing they worked on when they agreed to work together again in 1980. So,
was that song. And here it is fully realized as a short 14-15 minute feature in a cartoon. Mm-hmm. You know, and I love how – open he is about, about doing the voices for a lot of these things. He's very open, you know, and you watch the behind the scenes stuff on this disc and, you know, him and Linda, you know, provide the voices nearly for all the characters here in whatever film you're watching.
Right. Yeah, no, it's exciting. It's, you know, again, we talked about, you know, Paul doing, even as early as the Ram sessions, working on music for Rupert. Now, people might not know, now Paul bought the rights for the Rupert the Bear the day after the Beatles split. So April 11, 1970, that's when he bought the rights to do a film. So, you know, and he's been working on this for a long time.
And again, there's an entire Wings bootleg out there of music that they were going to do for a Rupert film in 1979.
Correct. So even with the last incarnation of Wings, they were working on music for that. And maybe we can talk about a little bit about that with Juber next time we have him on, because we're scheduled to be talking to him again soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's been an ongoing thing that finally saw fruition come in 84 with this release. Now, some people might not know here. We'll talk about a little Rupert Bear himself, created by Mary Turtle. First appearance in the Daily Express on November 8th, 1920. Like I said, Paul bought the rights to Rupert from the Express the day after the Beatles broke up. And, you know, so again, you know, like we said, there's a history there. A lot of stuff been written. When the Wind is Blowing, I think was consideration for an early film. You got Little Lamb Dragonfly, which was considered, I think, sometime Sunshine as well. So there's a lot of tracks out there. You know, and obviously, We All Stand Together as well. So,
yeah, out there. It's a kids film. It's meant for it's a kids film. It's what it is.
Right. The song itself was number three in the UK, not released here. So we didn't get to listen to that. Don't know. I mean, at that time, I don't know if it would have done anywhere near as well here.
It wouldn't have done well here, but it won the coveted Ivor Novello Award.
That's true. The film also won the BAFTA, the British Academy Award for Best Animated Short Film. So, you know, a lot of accolades, a lot of popularity with this. It's got a long history, like I said, starting from 1920. In the DVD, now, you know, before the film starts, you see Paul, it looks like he's in an attic. He's opening the chest, and then, you know, he sees all this Rupert stuff, you know, pulls out a book. And
12 Ardwick Road for the win.
Right.
Then speak.
In Speak. Yes, that's right.
Out there.
And then the film begins. Now, this DVD, it doesn't go in order with the, with what came out first. So it ends with Rupert.
Right.
It opens now with Tropic Island
Tropic
Hum.
Tropic Island Hum, which...
Right.
No, I was going to say, I don't know if you had it in your notes, but that's a... Yeah. Tropic Island Hum is obviously the timeline for that is pretty interesting, okay? Because we knew about it. It was being worked on in the 90s. We saw it. Right. If you watched the In the World Tonight documentary, mm-hmm. this was something Paul and Linda, prior to her passing, were very, very, very involved with.
Right.
You know, and I remember watching that thinking, oh, this is a pretty cool anime. He's going back to doing animated things. And that was, you know, okay. Hadn't done that since Rupert. So I remember being really amped to see what that could become. Because, and then obviously, sadly, Linda passed away a year later. And this project was shelved, really, until this film came out as a part of this collection and the song coming out. But, go ahead.
No, I'm going to say, with the song itself released, was recorded in November of 95. It was a little bit of a hit going to 21 in the UK. The film itself, I think, was also nominated for a BAFTA as well. And, you know, that's the cool thing that you see about this is not only was Paul and Linda together. I mean, they were pretty much together and worked on just about everything together, not just the music. It was also these animation shorts as well. You know, so obviously both had a love and appreciation for that. So the film was, you know, in my research said it was released in 97. Credits written by Paul and Linda, and they were also executive producers.
Yeah.
Vocals by Paul and Marion Montgomery. But go ahead.
When was it? When and where was it released though? In 97, VHS. No, I
see. It probably made the festival circuit. Okay.
I don't recall being able to go buy this anywhere.
No, you wouldn't have been able to because it was probably just, like I said, in the festivals. You have to at least release it theatrically some way in order for it to be eligible to get nominated for any award.
Okay.
So it would have been probably Cannes or some kind of film festival. Okay. Mm-hmm. Voices by Paul and Linda, score by George Martin, you know, engineering by Jeff Emmerich. So, you know, the usual crowd, was there helping Paul, produced and directed by Jeff Dunbar. And, like I said, this was the second of the trilogy, if you will, this mm-hmm. of these three here. So yeah. You start off, you know, it starts off pretty dramatic and almost kind of like in a black and white way. It's almost like dusk. It's kind of dark. You see two men chasing after a squirrel. They're hunting, obviously. There is a message in this film.
Oh, of course.
You know, obviously some people might be put off by that message, and that's fine. You know, as a vegetarian myself, I'm not one of those people that tells other people, no, you can't hunt. You know, I mean, you can't do that. Anyways, but
if you're a follower, a follower of Paul McCartney at all, you know, you should not be surprised by the message in this film.
Exactly. Good point. Thank you. Then you see another character, in a kind of like a balloon up in the air, mm. and then it's a rescue, two friends, meet up, you know, so I'm not going to get crazy into the descriptions because if you're watching, there's a good chance you know this. But if you haven't seen it yet, I don't want to give too much away because I want you to go and find this. You can probably, like I said, you can find it on eBay or used record store or whatnot.
Well, you can buy it. We can rent it on YouTube. I saw it. You can like for like $3, you can rent it and watch it.
Okay, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excellent. Good. Very good. So the two, there's a frog, there's a squirrel. They're sailing in the air. They
frogs, man. Frogs all over the place.
It's nothing but frogs, all three of
them. Oh, my God. Frog crazy.
You know, they come to an island and, you know, they meet bison, which is like a, mm-hmm. you know, kind of like humanoid bull, bison. And, you know, and then, you know, the song ensues and then there's a happy ending. Squirrel meets squirrel and then the rest is history. So, but the animation is nice. I mean, what did you think about this watching it for the first time?
For the first time, again, having seen parts of it, but I liked it. And I took more out of the the bonus features, seeing that, because as somebody who's in production, I like seeing that aspect of it.
Right.
And Paul really talking about how this film was one of the first ones kind of where the digital age was starting to kind of come into things a little bit. Right. So computer animation was a lot. I mean, obviously Rupert and everything before that was all by hand, even Bruce McMouse, all by hand. Tropic Island Hum was done kind of with a little bit of a hybrid, done old school drawing, but also digitally on the computer. And he wanted that because he wanted to have that kind of old nostalgia look for the film, which he talks about. So I enjoyed it. I think as in terms of a plot, well, we'll get to Tuesday, but I think it's good. I mean, I like that Linda's in it because she told Jeff Dunbar, you know, there's no females in this.
Female, they're right.
Yeah, you got to get a female in there. So they created the Wilhelmina character.
Yeah, I do like that special feature where you know you see Paul and Linda on the beach. They're
That's talking, cool.
And then all of a sudden they're animated.
They're animated. Right. That was cool. I never saw that before. That was really cool.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, they did that before her passing, and she looked like she was you know, smiling and you know, and happy. So that was really exciting to see as well.
It's probably I don't know the timeline, but this or Flaming Pie, but it has to be one of the last things that she did. You know, her hair was shorter, so it was definitely during that time. So it's just, you know, of course, you know, I don't know if it was this film when the credits ended, or was it the whole thing where it said that this is dedicated to the memory of Linda. I think it was this.
No, it's the next one.
It is the next one. Okay. I did see that somewhere in the film. Right. But Paul, you know, everything they did, you know, again, kind of in a John and Yoko kind of way, they did it together.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this one is enjoyable. You know, it's kind of shades of Rupert and the Frog Song.
Yeah.
Bouncy little tune, you know, all everybody's together having a great time singing, doing, you know, with
we
this
are simple people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's the way that you bunga the bunga. It's the way you make of the cake.
Yeah. And it's funny, but even on the World Tonight documentary, you see him singing that walking down the stairs.
Right.
When he's leaving, working on it. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, that could be a funny little tune, you know?
Yes. Absolutely. And, you know, Paul does all the voices except for the one that Linda does. And, you know, he even does during the making of, you know, he actually, you know, is there, you know, they're filming him doing a couple seconds of, you know, of some of the voices, you know, the squirrel, frog, and the bison. So,
and it's cool. It's so obviously him too.
Right. Oh,
when you listen to him do these voices, you know, the deep one,
right.
or like the, you know, or the little squirrel one, like you're like,
right.
that's Paul. Like,
it's
you
Paul,
know,
right.
It is.
Right. One of my favorite parts though, is the pelican. Because he's obviously he's dressed up as a sailor and his name is Sam. So
yeah,
Sailor Sam.
Sailor Sam, so
a little, you know, little hint back to Band on the Run there. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so there's little, you know,
little pieces,
tidbits,
little hints,
little
Easter eggs.
Right, the landscape looks great. The colors are, you know, really pop out. So I wouldn't be surprised though if this one gets some kind of restoration here for an anniversary.
Yeah,
like I said, you know, we got the restored Rupert and the Frog Song last year,
which was
beautiful,
incredible.
You know, so hopefully this Tropic Island Hum gets the same treatment.
Yeah.
So. All right, moving on to the next one, which we got is a short film called Tuesday. Based on a book.
Yep.
By David Wisner, which is, I think he's, I'm not going to say if he's British or US, I don't know.
American, I believe.
American, right, because the book did win a few awards, including an American one.
Mm-hmm.
Music was composed by Paul. He was also an executive producer. Voices were from McCartney, and then guest appearance by Dustin Hoffman.
That was, and again, I threw this in. I didn't even like look at the liner notes or the on this.
Right.
I mean, it says he's on there. So I'm watching this last night, and I'm all of a sudden I hear this voice, and I'm like, that sounds like Dustin Hoffman.
Yes.
So then I wait for the credits, and I'm like, God damn it, I knew it. I knew he was in there. So, right. Of course, Paul's association with Dustin Hoffman goes back to... Picasso's Last Words. Last Words,
absolutely, yes. On the back of the DVD here says, when Paul asked me to narrate Tuesday, I was delighted, as it was one of my favorite illustrated storybooks as well. So,
yeah.
So, you know, he was a fan of the
That was cool, and I don't know, and that you hear in the bonus features of the Tuesday document of, you know, that you see, you hear... you see Paul and Jeff Dunbar listening to the playback of Dustin Hoffman's recording. I don't know if he was with them or he just did it and sent it over. He probably just did a voiceover. And
all the voice work was recorded at Hog Hill. I don't know if Dustin actually came out to Hog Hill to record, maybe.
To do two lines? I mean,
exactly. That's the thing. I mean, he was, you know, the four lines maybe in the whole story. Which I think is one of the charms about it.
Interesting film, this Tuesday.
Yes. This might be my favorite of the three, only because the animation and the sound effects are just out of sight on this one. You know, especially the underwater stuff. I mean, it feels like you're underwater. The sound effect, it feels like it sounds like you're actually in a field by a stream. You know, the crickets, the frogs. I mean, it's perfect. Sound effects are just out of this world. Perfect on this. So story goes, you know, it's Tuesday at dusk. Frogs on their lily pads. They're croaking. They seem like they're in anticipation of something to happen. And then, you know, a couple seconds in, all of a sudden one frog starts being lifted up on his lily pad. Next thing you know, all the frogs are being lifted up and now they're flying. It's surprising you should have used that.
You should have.
Anyways, you know, they fly towards a town. Pass by as there's a person eating a sandwich, and then they fly into a older couple's home, and it's funny because one of the frogs has the remote, and then he changes the channel with his tongue.
Right, and you hear the opening sounds of the I Love Lucy.
I Love Lucy, right? And then then he changes the channel again, and then we got David Letterman. So
there was definitely much more of a kind of an American vibe with this one.
Right, exactly. So, but again, this one's great. So then they leave the house, then they're flying. They get into a little scuffle with the dog, and then as dawn starts, then you just see them all starting to fall. I mean, because obviously, you know, whatever this was that was making this happen was only from dusk till dawn,
right?
You know,
and then cops come.
You know, they see all the lily pads on the ground, you know, on the road, in people's lawn. Dustin Hoffman then makes his vocal appearance. Funny last scene then, kind of like homage to maybe Animals with the pig.
Yes.
Then instead of frogs in the air.
Flying.
See pigs are flying.
You know, I'm watching that. I'm hearing like pig on a wing in my head.
Right. Yeah.
From Floyd, which is cool. That's it. So, I think I agree with you, partner. I think I like this film best. I mean, listen, Rupert, I can't count Rupert because Rupert's like a classic. But for having not seen this before at all until watching this on the DVD just yesterday, I think I like Tuesday the best.
Yeah. Yeah, this is really enjoyable. It was nominated for a British Academy Award as well. I think this was released around 2002. Now, this is the one, if you watch the credits.
2000,
yeah, something like that. Blah, blah, blah. I think that this is the one, if you watch the credits, you will see dedicated to the memory of Linda.
Right. Again, a little bit behind the scenes on this. I liked you mentioned the scene about where a guy's sitting eating a sandwich, which actually was actually based on Paul.
You see that
in the bonus features when you watch the behind the scenes.
Yeah, they filmed the turtle moving that Paul had. So
yeah,
to use for inspiration to see how so they can animate it correctly. mean, a lot of the techniques that are in, you know, your normal animated films were also applied to this one as well. So so right on for Paul, I guess, you know, right on for Paul to, you know, acknowledging this book, because this actually made me is making me want to buy the book.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know, so. So that's Tuesday. Yeah.
So, and then again, the bonus features, there's a little bit of there's a 10-minute documentary talking about Paul and his love of animation and how, what he's worked on. He kind of goes over the history of working with Jeff Dunbar, going back to Rupert and then Topic Island Hum. And then of course, Tuesday. Right. And he also hints at another animated project that they were working on.
Right.
But we haven't seen the light of day since that time.
And was that High in the Clouds maybe?
I don't know. He doesn't. He doesn't mention the topic. He just said we're working on a longer feature,
right?
And
which is going to turn out to be High in the Clouds, which is what we've been waiting for. You know, we talked about this not too long ago, and Netflix picked it up.
Yep.
So it's probably going to be another year or two before we see anything about this. We do know that Paul recorded a song with Lady Gaga.
Yep.
So we're assuming now that is going to be for this film. Mm-hmm. I do think it was said that that song was going to be
For High in the Clouds. And we're talking, this has got to be over now. Right. 2 years. This is like over 2 years ago now, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of on the back
burner.
I think
this was even during the Egypt Station sessions.
Even longer.
Right.
Wow.
It is a book I have on my Amazon wish list. I still need to pick the book up. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
But I need to get that to prepare for watching the film.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. But Tuesday, I think by far for me, I think it's the shortest of the three, but it's also, I think, the most visually enjoyable.
Yes.
Again, you know, none of these stories are, you know, earth shattering or anything, but for this was actually really fun to watch. And
it's the only one of the three that actually has any human element into it.
Right. Yeah.
Which is interesting. I mean, they're all three. If you're watching this purely as a McCartney fan, you're watching this just to see, okay, where is he at creatively? Why? Everything that we look for, you know, these aren't films that set the world. We're not going to revisit this a lot, but it's another aspect of his career that really, I think, should be looked at. And I'm glad that we looked at it because it's something that he spent a lot of time doing.
Again, absolutely.
Bruce
absolutely.
McMouse, these films, other things,
High in
the Clouds now. So it's an aspect of his career that he's very proud of. And what I think summing it all up best, I thought about this morning, was that he's really just a kid at heart. He's a kid at heart. And even now at almost 80 years old. And I think that's why we've gotten so much out of him because he's retained that childlike quality in everything that he does as a musician, as a father, as somebody who's outspoken for rights and stuff. I think he's just a kid at heart, and you see those themes in these films, family, you know, the animal, you know, his concerns for animal rights and things like that. They're all present in these films.
Yeah, absolutely. Then the DVD concludes with the Rupert and the Frog song. Now, this one I enjoy as well. I kind of liked a little bit. I mean, obviously, it's just a short little story up until the big number, but at least you get some kind of, you get the family aspect of it. You know, you get the mom and dad for a second, and then, you know, the friends, and then, you know, he's off on his adventure, which, hey, listen, I mean, as a kid, I mean, that was nothing better than, you know, going off and exploring. Absolutely. So that was really cool. There's a couple scenes that I really like too, while he's out and about. There's a tree. It looks like it's all leaves on there, but then you find out that later that it's just birds as they fly away.
Yes.
And that was really, really visually stunning. You know, you get a couple little enemies with the owl.
And the owl.
Exactly. You know, so those are pretty cool. And then you get into the cave, you know, then you get the mom or the dad and son frog, you know, and the son being annoying and the dog, you know, I mean, the dad you know, was kind of scolding him a little bit, but, you know, shush, you know, this only happens like every couple hundred years or something like that, you know, so that's fine. Then when you actually get into the actual song, you know, it's just cool to see imagery, like we talked about with Broad Street, you know, it's kind of like a video, obviously it's a video to the song, and it's just really cool to see. I mean, if I'm going to listen to We All Stand Together, I want to watch the video as well. You know what I mean? I just don't want to listen to the song. I really just appreciate the two. Yeah. The two together are perfect. You know, it's a great blend of music and animation.
It really is. And you know, we kind of it's Rupert and the Frog song. It's not just Rupert. That's why everyone kind of gets tired. When you when you see Rupert, right, on this stuff, and when you actually watch the film, you realize, oh, he's just watching a chorus of frogs sing the song.
Right.
Rupert's not singing the song.
Exactly. You know, you get a little bit of action there at the end there with the owl swooping down.
Yep.
And then the next thing you know, Rupert's mom's calling him to come home, and then we have the end of the story. But I would love to see him revisit and do another Rupert short myself. I really enjoyed this one too.
It's a great melody, and if I'm being honest, I think I have a humming version than the actual song. I do. Okay. I think it's great. I think it's a great way to end the film. I mean, the song's great. The original song is great, fantastic. But that humming version, I think, is just great. The children's choir on it, and it sets the mood perfectly when you watch the film when it closes it too. You know, and he comes back. And he's telling his mom all about where he went. And
you're not going to believe this.
And you hear the strings of that humming version come in
as
the credits roll, which just ends the film perfectly.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, if you have this, if you haven't watched in a while, throw it back in, give it another view. Let us know in the comments what you think or what your thoughts are on the DVD as a physical media. Let us know what your thoughts are. And I enjoy every time that I watch it. I mean, I'll be honest, I hadn't watched it in a while, so I was really looking forward into, review or, you know, getting back and watching it and reevaluating it. And it's just as enjoyable now as it was then. So,
this was a first timer for me. So, but again, it had been on that list of things to pick up, but just hadn't. And thanks to Tom, I did. And again, not something I'm going to watch every day, but
of course, you know. Right.
Yeah. No, but it's there. It's part of the canon. It's McCartney, and that's why we cover it. That's why we, you know, take a look at topics that you know, don't really kind of get looked at a whole lot. And the animation aspect of Paul's career is one of those.
Right. There you go. Absolutely. Thanks for mentioning that. Okay, so that's our look at the music and animation collection DVD set. Thank you for joining us, Andy. What do you want to add anything before we sign off here?
Subs have gone up on YouTube quite a bit, and we can now post and go live on YouTube. So that's good. That means we've hit 20,000 hours of view time on our channel. So thank you for that, because now that's an added feature that we have grown for the channel now. So we can, if Tom's at Zia or I'm at a record store and we want to go live, we can do that on our phones now. And that's a thank you to you, the audience, for watching our channel and subscribing and spreading the word, because the growth has really gone up, and we're very happy about that. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Well said, partner. As always, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Two Legs Podcast. You know, make sure you join us on Tuesdays or Wednesdays. You know, it's Wednesday, but now it's Tuesday. I mean, whatever, whenever we can do our 101 favorite Mac countdown, you know, we do it. So that's up on our YouTube channel. So that's going to be a YouTube exclusive for now. Later on, it'll eventually get on the audio formats. So we want you to go over to YouTube, type in Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast if you haven't already, and that's where you'll see the video podcast, if you will. And if you haven't subscribed, please consider doing that. Like Andy said, we're at 750, and the channel's been growing steadily now for the last year, and we're really proud of that. So so check that out. You can email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. We're getting plenty of emails, so keep those coming. We love the comments on our YouTube channel, so keep those coming as well. And we, like Andy said, we really appreciate you guys and gals joining us and participating in these shows. So keep those comments coming. So, Andy, good seeing you again, my friend, and we will talk soon.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, my friend. And everybody out there, as you always, have a great day and a beautiful night. Take care.